The Locker Room by Charles Rammelkamp. In the locker room at the gym, the old retired duffers, Clyde Abbott, Richard Sefcik, and Myron Cooper, sit around the big screen television in the lounge area, drinking sodas and talking sports and politics. Today's 50 is yesterday's 40, Clyde is saying, sitting naked on the Naga hide sofa with a can of Coke, looking at the TV screen. An infomercial for some exercise equipment bounces out of the monitor on upbeat synthesizer music. Hell, the art magazine says 60's the new 30, Richard Sefcik notes. What I wouldn't give to be 30 again, Myron replies, looking at the blonde on the screen demonstrating the newest contraption. Just take some of that Viagra, Clyde cackles. They're kicking us aside all the time, Richard laments. I read where age discrimination lawsuits are up 40% in the last 5 years, sending us out to pasture. Castleman heads out the door, wondering what the word is for that phenomenon where you hear about something that seemed obscure at first, and suddenly you're hearing it all over the place. How to stay young. How to recover youth. How to stop the aging process dead in its tracks. On his way to the gym, he'd been listening to a public radio talk show about the same subject. There's a difference between long life and a slowed-down aging process, isn't there? The talk show host lobbed a scripted softball to his guest. I mean, we're talking about being young, not just living a long time. Most definitely. Nature has a role here as well. During periods of scarcity, for instance, the aging process seems to slow down. Near-starvation diets have extended the lives of mice up to 30%, as an example. The theory is that during periods of famine, certain genes trigger a slowing down of the aging process in order to prolong the reproductive phase, so the offspring might survive when food is more plentiful. You've written that studies have shown that even older mice might live longer if their calorie intake is restricted. Yes. We haven't any data on humans, but we speculate that even starting a low-calorie diet at 60 would slow the aging process significantly. And let me add that restricted calorie diets have slowed the advancement of cancer in mice. And yet, technological advances are adding years to the lives of the boomer generation. Stem cell research, improved surgical procedures, life expectancies are increasing. Exactly. What we might call living on borrowed time. Pharmaceutically assisted longevity. But even here, it's not going to be a matter of old age dragging out, is it? People will be younger longer. The 80-year-old will look and feel 60. Maybe because he's writing a novel about Ponce de Leon, he notices these things, Castleman reflects. Castleman plays basketball with a man named Eddie Stokes. He almost always loses. But he cannot use age as an excuse, since Eddie is about 5 years older than he is, and he's had a big piece of his colon removed to boot. The games aren't even all that competitive. Eddie is so much better than Castleman, but they enjoy the exercise. Only when they play team basketball, other than one-on-one, say 2-on-2 or 3-on-3, does Eddie lose his patience with Castleman. Set the pick, he screams as if talking to a child. Set the pick! Castleman is not even sure what a pick is. Afterward, Eddie assures him, don't worry, you'll get better. The more you play, the better you become. But at the age of 54, Castleman is pretty sure his days of improving as a basketball player are over. Eddie isn't there that day, and Castleman runs on the treadmill instead. It's pretty monotonous. Think Sisyphus. And club management has put television monitors up every few feet as a distraction, the way they do in cocktail lounges, usually with Jerry Springer or ESPN on the air. Today, it's a woman's talk show featuring a line of cosmetics. Lines and wrinkles starting to get you down? A reassuring voice asks, try our new line of cosmetics. We'll make you feel like a kid again. But this isn't real return to youth, is it? Castleman is annoyed. This is just covering up the rusts and the dents. Ponce de Leon wouldn't have given such stuff the time of day. Fucking Duke, man, Kevin Steinecker marvels in the steam room. It's a week later and Castleman has just come in from getting drubbed again on the basketball court by Eddie Stokes. Eddie has these long arms and a vicious hook that Castleman simply cannot defend against. But they enjoy the exercise. It keeps them young. Know what you mean, Clyde Abbott cackles. Get a close game like that and you know Duke's going to pull it out in the end somehow. But those guys on Xavier had heart. Could be an all-ACC final if Duke and Tech both win, Kevin laments, a Big Ten fan. A young man from Iowa in his early 30s, he likes to jive with Meyer and Clyde, as if they all have the same old-fashioned values and represent a dying paternalistic worldview. I don't know about you, but I miss the days when you had real star power out there on the court, Myron complains, invoking the good old days, and Kevin nearly swoons. Now, it's just a game of the coaches. This is about Jim Calhoun and Mike Krzyzewski. Where's the young guys? They're all playing in the NBA. Oh, remember the Bird Magic matchup? Remember Michigan's Fab Five? Then the steam starts hissing again, and it's too loud to make conversation. If people are staying younger longer, Castleman reflects, the younger are growing up sooner. Before long, NBA stars will be as young as professional tennis players. Castleman and his wife had gone to a performance of Romeo and Juliet at Center Stage the night before, and afterward they talked about the play and about being young and in love. Jody had said it was one of the things she did not miss about youth. I don't know. We talk about it so scientifically these days in terms of increased libido and renewal of sexuality, Castleman offered. I wouldn't mind just being young again. Young and dumb and full of cum. It was so distracting and frustrating, though, Jody pointed out, and your heart was so easily broken. I also think it's weird that Juliet isn't even 14 when the story takes place. Can you imagine our daughters in love that way? You mean, can I imagine somebody experiencing a love for her of such purity and passion that he kills himself when he believes she's dead? There! That's what's frightening about teenage love. John Hinckley was 26 when he tried to kill Reagan to prove his love for Jodie Foster. Of course, he'd had a major crush on her for years before that. I guess you don't outgrow obsession. But it's not even fair to compare Romeo's pure love with Hinckley's. Oh, have it your way. That's literature, not life. When you're young, you're confused. And when you're old, you're full of aches and pains. My foot is killing me, still. Did you buy the anti-inflammatory Dr. Fay recommended? It seemed to help for a while, but I've been hobbling again lately. I played ball with Eddie at the gym yesterday, and today I can hardly step on it. Well, just don't play basketball and you won't have a problem. Ah, an aged man is but a paltry thing, a tattered coat upon a stick. What a drama queen. Just don't play so hard for so long. The following week, Castleman runs into Kevin Steinacker again in the steam room, the young man who yearns to be old. He loves to shoot the shit with the retirees, Clyde Abbott, Richard Sefcik, and Myron Cooper. They trade stories of exploits on the golf course and share their sentiments about the values of the good old days. Man, I never paid much attention before, Castleman says to Kevin, but that basketball court is actually just cement, with a thin rubber coating with all the lines and circles drawn on it. Not a parquet floor at all. No wonder my ankles hurt, jumping up and down on that cement floor. Sensing an old man topic, aches and pains, Kevin warms to the conversation. Clyde, Myron, and Richard are seated in the plastic chairs like the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil monkeys. Oh, Lord, I had that once, Kevin says, pouncing on the subject like a cat on a mouse. He's a heavyset man, so it's not unlikely. He plays racquetball, on his feet a good deal. Got a cortisone shot from my doc and never felt a thing after that. You think that's painful, you should try having a hip replacement, Richard Sefcik declares. Try bypass surgery if you want pain, Myron scoffs at Richard. I've tried them both, boys, I've tried them both, Clyde chortles, and he sounds rather proud of himself. I just went to my quarterly stress test, Myron challenges. They give me so much of that radioactive junk, I swear I light up like a Christmas tree. You mean the thallium stress test? Clyde rejoins. You lie under the gamma camera and they stare at you like the Tour de France is going along in your bloodstream. My girlfriend's dad had that, Kevin offers, humbled but still in the game. Your girlfriend? Richard cries. I didn't know you had a girlfriend. You've been holding out on us, boy. Kevin blushes, torn between a desire to ingratiate himself with locker room braggadocio and to be discreet. The Romeo of the steam room. He's saved by the valve, which begins shooting out a jet of hot steam that drowns out the conversation, and the three monkeys lapse back into silence. Hoping nobody recognizes him, Castleman goes to the athletic club this hot July morning with the intention of riding the exercise bicycle and giving his sore foot a break, soaking it in the hot water of the co-ed jacuzzi after his workout. He dreads running into Eddie Stokes because he knows his triumphs over aches and pains are nothing compared to Eddie's. And besides, he knows, if asked, he cannot resist a game of one-on-one. Kim, the cute blonde towel girl, beams at him like a toothpaste ad, scans his membership card, and hands him a couple of towels. Clyde, Richard, and Myron love to flirt with Kim and make suggestive comments. But though Castleman is about 20 years younger than they, the very thought of telling Kim how lovely she is with the same leer and wink as Clyde's makes him feel like a dirty old man. Monk-like, he lowers his eyes, mumbles his thanks, heads to the men's locker room. Furtive as a spy, Castleman slides along the wall to the exercise room, making sure he doesn't run into anybody he knows, and mounts a recumbent exercise bike. The Price is Right is showing on the overhead monitor, spliced by commercials for the Scooter Store, motorized wheelchairs for older people with mobility problems that might qualify for Medicare assistance, the announcer stresses. Bayer and Excedrin and a variety of erectile dysfunction drugs. The station is pretty sure who makes up its morning audience. Castleman gets off the bike for a moment to scan the magazine rack for something to read. Newsweek, Shape, Surf, Bicycling, Aerobics Now, Sports Illustrated, Abs and Pecs, People, and what's this? The National Enquirer? He almost reaches for People when the tabloid catches his eye. The Enquirer is several months old, he notices, an edition from the end of May. The cover story is an exclusive breakthrough. JonBenet's killer commits suicide. The blue-eyed blonde little girl whose image has decorated the covers of tabloids for at least twice as many years as she actually lived stares vacantly out from under the headline. Never before seen crime scene photos and a promise that inside the killer's identity is finally revealed. Brittany caught in a drug den and in a biblical breakthrough, a man claims to have found Noah's Ark in Turkey. We believe God wanted it discovered, a spokesman says. And then here it is, the story Castleman really wants. Cher turns back time again. This could be useful for his Fountain of Youth novel, even if it is only a story about a facelift. In fact, diet and exercise are cited as the reason for Cher's youthful appearance. Just this morning, Castleman received an email spam for a wrinkle cream called La Deception, which he saved for later perusal, another possible source for material. Castleman spends half an hour on the bicycle and then heads to the locker room to don his swimming trunks before going to the co-ed jacuzzi, where he finds Camilla, a tall, blonde, super-fit woman for whom he has lusted for several years, but only in his heart, like Jimmy Carter in Jesus Christ. Camilla's relaxing after a rigorous workout. She's somewhere between the ages of 30 and 60. It doesn't matter. She keeps herself in such great shape, running, stretching, lifting weights, swimming, that age is simply irrelevant. Her hair is obviously touched up, and as a civilian in professional attire, she wears makeup. But still, she's a goddess. Camilla, hi, Castleman greets her, shy as a stammering schoolboy as he steps into the warm, bubbling pool. A cat-like smile on her face, Camilla opens her eyes. She sprawled languidly along one side of the pool, submerged to her neck, her long, lovely arms resting on the tiles. She could be naked under the bubbling foam, Aphrodite emerging from the sea. Roger, she replies, closing her eyes again. Castleman feels a great surge of desire, but does not attempt further conversation. Camilla evidently wants to be alone in her thoughts. It's as if he's at a temple, a worshipful devotee at the feet of the goddess, or in the actual Fountain of Youth itself, the invigorating waters. He feels himself getting aroused and is grateful that the bubbling waters conceal the fact. Pudenda, he reflects, from the Latin for shame. Castleman parks in the gym parking lot, pops the trunk, removes his bag. He enters the club, scans his membership card. It's December now, and Kim, the towel girl, wishes him a happy holiday season. He makes his way to the men's locker room, where he finds Clyde, Myron, and Richard lounging around in front of the television talking about vitamin supplements as an infomercial on botanical remedies for ailments ranging from bronchitis and diabetes to Parkinson's and wrinkles blares from the tube. "Bunch of quacks, if you ask me," Myron snorts. "Just a bunch of hairy-legged women with a string of garlic around their necks to cover the smell of their B.O. And guitar-playing old hippies with dirty jeans, sandals, and scraggly gray beards," Richard agrees. "I don't know," Clyde says. "My brother takes celery seed for his gout. Used to take a prescription drug, and it didn't do a damn thing. Ever since he started taking celery seed, he hasn't had a single gout attack. I bet he lives forever." Castleman feels a jolt of inspiration. He can use this for his Ponce de Leon novel, Living Forever. He closes his locker, turns toward the gym entrance, almost collides with Eddie Stokes. "Hey, Eddie, want to play a game of basketball?"